The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett, with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Together Again.
I still look back with great affection to the years I spent on the stage. It was a very happy period of my life, though I do have one regret, and that is that I was never able to sit in the audience and watch me. I still think, too, of my many dear friends in the Reza Charles Opera Company, who so selflessly supported me in my numerous and well-deserved triumphs. Friends who would, I'm sure, have been a very great comfort to me in my failures, had I ever had any. Irving Berlin was right, you know. There really are no people like show people. They smile when they are low. They smile when they're high as well. Which in some cases is all too frequently. Down the years, one loses touch. It's not the only thing one loses, more's the pity. But last September, Evadne and I invited as many members of the old company as we could locate to a reunion at the old manse. And come 6 p.m. on the day of the do, there we were in the drawing room, putting the finishing touches to our preparations. Evadne, do stop spitting on that wine glass.
I am not spitting on it, I'm polishing it.
Evadne, Maud's only just washed all those glasses.
I know, and I wish she hadn't. They were perfectly clean when I took them out of the sideboard.
Oh, well, give it here. All you have to do is breathe very lightly. And then rub it with a napkin. There you are.
You still haven't got that mark off completely.
Oh, well, give it to me then. Well, when in Rome.
It's still there.
Well, I'd better pop it back in the sideboard. We can't possibly use it now everybody's spat on it. And we're hardly short of glasses, are we?
Hardly. We seem to have put out every single piece of glassware, crockery and cutlery we possess.
Well, I think it looks jolly welcoming. It looks as if we're in for a really good time.
It looks as if we're in for a hell of a lot of washing up. I'm glad you asked Maud to stay on.
I asked Maud to stay on because she's one of us.
Precisely. She's the one who's going to do the washing up.
Evadne, as former wardrobe mistress for the company, Maud, like the rest of them, is our guest this evening. And as such, we can hardly ask her to do the washing up.
So you'll be doing it, will you?
Mind, she's so good-natured, children. Probably slip out and do it anyway.
Goodness me, you are devious.
I see nothing devious in giving people pleasure, dear. Maud loves helping me. Not you, me.
Incidentally, did she prepare these bridge rolls for you?
Yes, she did, dear. Why?
Well, I don't want to appear greedy, but shouldn't she have filled them with something?
Well, that's probably the filling in the bowl next to them. The one with the plate over it.
Well, what was she supposed to be filling them with?
Well, I left that to her. I had to let her do something creative.
Looks as if this could be it.
Why, what is it?
Well, it's gungy. Smells vaguely fishy.
Here, let me have a sniff. Kipper blancmange. Well, it's certainly different. I think I'll tuck it away in the sideboard. She'll never miss it. And there's plenty of other things for people to eat.
And what do you expect them to do with their bridge rolls? Dunk them in their coffee?
Evadne, they are inventive people. They won't need us to tell them what to do with their bridge rolls. Well, that reminds me. Where are the cocktail cherries?
Well, they're here. Why?
Well, one can't have a Rosa Charles party without cocktail cherries. Merton Pinckney used to do some very amusing things with cocktail cherries at our little do's.
He thought they were amusing.
I thought they were amusing. We all thought they were amusing.
I didn't.
You never thought Nanton Oddstock's imitations were funny either. Yeah. And his Carmen Miranda was a hoot.
You surely don't think he'll be doing that tonight?
I sincerely hope he will. Why do you think I bought such a big pineapple?
I don't think I'm really looking forward to that lot arriving.
You never look forward to anything.
No, that's not true. I'm looking forward to them leaving.
Well, you can always go and sit in your room until they've gone. I'll tell them you've got one of your migraines.
What migraines? I've never had a migraine in my life.
Ah, but they don't know that. They think you've suffered agonies from migraines.
Why should they think that?
Because I always told them you did. In the old days, every time you so unsocially absented yourself from one of our little junkets, I used to tell them you'd had a migraine.
Then you should be jolly well ashamed of yourself.
I thought I was doing you a favor.
So how was it that not one of them ever expressed any sympathy?
I told them not to. I told them you were very self-conscious about your migraines. I think it helped them to understand your little brainstorms.
My what?
Your brainstorms. Oh, don't deny it, Evadne. You used to have little brainstorms during rehearsals.
I had no such thing.
What? You used to scare the wits out of us, jumping up and down in the orchestra pit in your Wellingtons, waving your arms about with your hair flopping all over your face.
I was conducting.
Well, there was no need to be so violent about it. I can remember during the rehearsals for Hansel and Gretel, you actually threw your bat on at Sibylla Strang, and if she hadn't ducked, you'd have pinned her to the scenery.
And what do you suppose it was that drove me to such extremes of desperation?
Your migraines, of course.
I do not suffer from migraines.
If you go on shouting like that, you jolly well soon will.
Excuse me, Dame Mildred, were you calling?
No, Maud, no, it was just the doctor being a little difficult.
Oh, that's all right, then. Oh, that's funny. Where's that basin with the plate over it gone off of that table?
Basin there?
With the plate over it, Hilda.
Oh, the basin with the plate over it. Aha, yes. Now, what did I do with that basin?
You put it in the sideboard.
Thank you, Evadne. So I did, to keep the flies off it.
That's why I put the plate over it.
Isn't it funny how great minds always think alike?
If you want the bowl out, Maud, you may take it out.
Thank you, Dame Mildred.
Incidentally, Maud, what is that concoction in the bowl?
Just a little treat for the cats, Doctor.
A treat for the cats. Do you know, Maud, the doctor thought that was the filling for the bridge rolls.
Dame Mildred, she never. The filling for the bridge rolls is in the fridge, in that lovely blue china bowl of yours. This is just a bit as we're left over.
So, to repeat my question, Maud, what actually is that concoction in the bowl?
It's my chunky chowder, Doctor.
But chowder is soup, Maud.
What? Yes. But it's a thick'un.
It's not such a thick'un as that. Ah, here we go.
Shall I get it, Damon?
Would you dare, please? Yes. How do I look, Evadne?
Well, I suppose the chintzy dress is all right, but the necklace is a bit over the top. You're more covered in pearls than a Whitstable oyster bed.
Well, at least I look partyish, which is more worn one can say for you in your twilled worsted and your black crepe de chine neckerchief. You look like a costermonger in mourning.
Mr. Nanton Oddstock.
Nanton.
Hello, my sweetest.
Darling, how lovely to see you.
Hello, Nanton.
Come here, let me take you both in my arms and give you a great big hug.
You better be careful with it, Evadne, though. Her bones are very brittle these days.
They're not so well upholstered as Hilda.
Are still dodging with each other, I see how wonderful.
Well, sit yourself down, Nanton.
Thank you, sweetie. I say, what a pretty room. Powder, puff, pinks, crystal rose bowls, and Dresden shepherdesses. It's also utterly you, Hilda.
Well, it certainly isn't Evadne.
Maud, can I smell burning?
I don't know, Doctor. Can you?
Yes, I can.
Then the sausage rolls must be ready. And despite me being a guest myself, I suppose you expect me to go and get them out.
Oh, Maud, I would be grateful. No one can scrape the black bits off a burnt sausage roll better than you can.
Very well, Dame Mildred. For you.
Thank you, dear.
Maud hasn't changed a bit, has she?
More's the pity.
Neither of you, either of you.
Oh, bless your Nanton. You were always so good at massaging hurt egos.
I don't remember your ego ever being hurt.
That's because I was a trooper, Evadne. I knew how to hide my heartaches under a sunny smile.
Oh, weren't those wonderful days? Traveling in the country together, Sunday on the train, grabbing the best digs, opening nights on Monday. Oh, didn't we have some fun? Days of wine and roses, eh?
And for some, a good deal more wine than roses.
Well, Evadne, aren't you going to get Nanton a drink, dear?
Nanton, as Hilda's legs appear to have given out completely, would you like me to get you a drink?
No, thank you kindly. I'll wait for the others. Besides, I had a couple of small libations along the way.
I rather thought you might have done.
I say, Hilda, before anybody else arrives, do you think you could point me in the direction of the little boy's room?
The what, dear?
The little boy's room, Hilda, the loo.
Ah, what we call the little girl's room.
Well, I certainly don't. I call it the lavatory.
Yeah, you can be so crude. Well, why does one have to call it anything? Why can't one just go?
One would if one only knew where it was, darling.
Sorry, Nanton, dear. It's up the stairs. Turn left and it's first on the right.
Bless you, darling.
Oh, who can that be?
Well, let's hope it's someone phoning to say they can't come.
Hello? Stacton 295? Who? Oh, Milford, darling. It's Milford Plenty, Evadne.
Don't say he's decided to come after all. He said he couldn't.
Oh, how very sweet of you to remember, Milford. All right, he's not coming. He's just phoned to wish us well. Would you like a word with his Abner there?
No. I don't want to speak to him.
Sorry, Milford. I know she'd have loved a little chat, but there's evidently an emergency in the kitchen, and if Abner's gone to put it out. Yes. I do hope we see you soon there. Yes, and good luck with the tour. Bye-bye, my darling. Kiss, kiss. I told you he was out on tour again, didn't I, Abney, and the student prince?
Yes, you did, and I can't imagine a more mature student. 80 if he's a day.
It's all right, eh, Milder? Despite being a guest myself, I'll get it.
I do hope she's not going to carry on like that all evening. I told you, you shouldn't have invited her.
If I hadn't have invited her, we'd have had no one to do it.
Mr. Merton Pinkney.
Does she have to call their names like a liveried flunky at a Lord Mayor's ball?
I'm taking his coat and I'm sending him in. And remember, Doctor, I ain't working. I'm only helping out.
Gather round, girls. Look who's here. Archie, he's to town again. The idol of the ladies and the envy of the men. He doesn't really care a jot if a girl is dark or fair or what. They all look beautiful to Archie.
Bravo,
Mr. Merton.
Hello, Merton. Nice to see you.
Evadne, my old sweetheart, after all this time, give us a kiss.
No.
What, not after all this time?
No.
I'll give you a kiss, Merton.
Oh, I knew you would, Ducky.
Darling.
Oh, do you know, I never could get Evadne to give me a kiss.
You never knew the right way to go about it, and you obviously still don't.
I think it was jolly brave of you to even try, Merton. Now, let's sit on the sofa. I want to know everything that's happened to you in the last 35 years.
Yes.
Relax, my pretty ones. I'm here. I'll get it.
That sounds like Nunton Oddstock.
It is, dear. It is.
First as usual, eh? Yes, you all said to be first.
Come along, Camilla, darling. The party's in here. Oh, sorry, sweetie. Would you like me to take your coat?
Thank you, Nunton. I think I'll keep it on for a while. One never knows how cold one's going to be in these rambling old houses.
I suppose it must seem a bit big after a granny flat.
Look, people, who I found languishing on the step under a heap of mink.
Sibylla, darling.
Sibylla, my dear. And Evadne.
Hello, Sibylla.
And Merton Pinkney. Well, what a surprise. I'd heard you were dead.
Dead? Dead, darling. I never died in my life.
Not off stage, anyway.
Mind, I'd heard Nunton was dead as well. Got quite a shock when he opened the front door.
This must seem more like a seance than a party to you.
Well, come along, everybody. Sit yourselves down and we'll all have a little drinky, shall we, Abner?
Right.
Maud!
With Beth. That was right in my ear.
Sorry, Hilda.
Maud!
Can you bring in the punch?
When I'm good and ready.
Well, as you can hear, Sibylla, Maud's still alive and kicking.
No, that doesn't surprise me one teeny bit. That sort go on forever. I say, Nunton, you can take my coat now, dear. It's dreadfully hot in here.
Would you like me to open a window, dear?
Oh, no, Hilda, I daren't risk sitting in a draught.
Oh, and to think that that's the little gal who danced her way through one of the worst winters in history wearing nothing but a silk handkerchief and a pair of wings.
Oh, but I'm paying for it now, Merton. Sometimes getting up in the morning is almost more than I can manage.
I never remember it being particularly easy for you, dear. But I always thought it was congenital.
Congenital?
That's what I said, dear.
Do you know what congenital means?
Probably not, dear, but I'm sure Sibylla does.
Oh, Nunton, do take this coat. It's dreadfully heavy.
No, sorry, sweetie. I say, isn't it lovely and fluffy? One doesn't know whether to hang it on the hall stand or pop it on a hutch and stroke it.
Oh, for goodness sake, Nunton, chuck it over the back of that chair and come and sit down.
It won't melt, will it, Sibylla? Only we've just had the carpets cleaned, you see.
Can someone come and help me carry this lot through?
Coming, sweetie.
Oh, I do wish Nunton weren't so horribly energetic. It makes one feel tired just to look at him.
Makes me feel quite young to look at him. At least I don't wear an orange toupee.
Might be an improvement if you did.
Now, everybody. I think it's very kind of Nunton to be so helpful. Besides, it saves any of us having to get up.
Oh, fill the flowing bowl until it does run over. Come, landlord, fill the flowing bowl until it does run over. For tonight will merry, merry be. For tonight will merry, merry be. For tonight will merry, merry be. Tomorrow will be so.
Hurrah for the flowing bowl.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Maud, darling, do me a big favor, would you, dear? And make sure everybody gets a glass of punch, including yourself, of course.
Oh, thank you, Dame Notta.
And you're not to go into that kitchen any more tonight, dear.
Unless we need some.
Unless I ask you to, or you feel you would like to.
So, you didn't bring old Boothby Pagnell with you then, Nunton? The old boy's all right, is he?
No, he's as fit as a fiddle, full of beans, sends his love to one and all. He was so looking forward to coming, but his mother's a bit dicky.
His mother? Is she still alive?
No, very much so. The poor soul fell off a stepladder papering the ceiling. Now he's there at 95. So, Boothby's gone down to Worthing to give his father a hand.
Are there no living grandparents who could help us?
Surprisingly, no, Hilda. The very long-lived family of Boothby's. His father only retired a few years back.
Was he a musician, too?
No. He was a dancer. Martin Bailey. Well, it was Martin when he first started doing it.
So who else is coming tonight, then, Hilda? Or are we few, we happy few, the sole survivors?
By no means, dear, but we couldn't invite everybody.
Well, we could have, but we didn't want to.
Mind you, some of the old gang couldn't come because they're working. But there's a minibus coming up from Twickenham with a lot of the old London crowd aboard. They should be here before long.
If they ain't, they'll not get much punch by the look of it. Well, I don't want to tell you your job, dear, but you really shouldn't have put the bowl down where Nunton can reach it.
Tain't my job tonight, dear. I'm a guest. And from now on, it's help yourself.
Whoopee! This is where the party looks up.
And this, I fancy, is where we need music, Evadne. To the piano, dear.
If Maud's not working, why should I?
Oh, don't you start being temperamental. Merton, how about you and I giving them one of our lovely duets from the Arcadians?
Oh, you know me, Hilda. Only too happy to sing songs of Arcady, with or without flageolet accompaniment. Yes, how about Charming Weather?
Lovely, dear. Right then, boys and girls, stand by on stage. We're going to run Charming Weather. All right, Evadne, when you're ready, dear.
You're taking such good care of me, I'm not inclined to set you free.
There's nothing that I wouldn't do to win a kindly word from you.
Oh, very well, then I'll admit, I like you just a tiny bit.
When first I saw your face, I vowed you were the dearest. Dash the crowd. It's nice and warm, I think that we shall have a lovely day.
Very, very warm today.
Asian shade, they say.
Just fancy.
It almost looks as though the sun has really come to stay.
Oh, what very charming weather.
It's nice and warm, I think that we shall have a lovely day.
Very, very warm for me.
Asian shade, they say,
just fancy.
It almost looks as though the sun has really come to stay.
Oh, what very charming weather. Merton, don't stand so close to
me. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank goodness they have gone away. There's something I should like to say.
I want to hear it, I confess. I'm sure that I should never guess.
It's all the world to me, although the answer's simply yes or no.
You haven't made it very plain. Oh, bother, here they come again. It's nice and warm, I think that we shall have a lovely day.
Very, very warm for me.
Ain't in the shade, they say.
Just fancy.
It almost looks as though the sun has really come to stay.
Oh, what very charming weather. It's nice and warm, I think that we shall have a lovely day. Very, very warm for me. Ain't in the shade, they say. Just fancy. It almost looks as though the sun has really come to stay. Oh, what very charming weather.
Grazie,
oh, splendid, Hilda, yes, just like the old days.
It certainly was. You always used to stand too close to me during that number.
Well, I had to edge into your light, didn't I, as you were the only person with a spotlight all to yourself. Had I not, dear, no one would have been able to see my face.
You shouldn't have let that worry you, dear. It was mine they'd paid to see.
No, there was always rather selfish with the light, wasn't she? Many the time the chorus threatened to come on carrying candles.
Billy can't blame Hilda for the lighting of the show, Sibylla. The lighting was my responsibility. And if you hadn't been such a rabble, I might have put more on the rest of you.
Thank you, Evadne. It's not often you stick up for me.
Now, I don't wish to sound rude, Evadne, my old sweetheart, but what did you know about lighting? You were a musician.
I just happened to be the director as well.
And what did you know about directing?
What did you know about music, come to that? My songs were always in a key I couldn't manage.
Only because the one you could manage doesn't exist.
Why do you think we always gave you so much dancing to do, Sibylla, dear? We were hoping you'd be too puffed to sing.
I do wish it wasn't always me who had to dance with her. All my patent leather pumps had holes in them where her blessed heels went through.
Let's face it, Nanton, you were no Nijinsky yourself. I've seen pantomime cows dance more gracefully than you.
I'd avoid the subject of cows if I were you, sweetie.
No, Sibylla's right, Nanton. Your merry widow waltz was more like knees up Mother Brown.
At least I didn't fall off the stage when I was doing it.
I did not fall. You pushed me.
Not in Bradford, he didn't.
He was always falling off the stage. It was the only genuine entertaining thing he ever did.
Now, just a minute.
Well, it's true.
You blackguard.
Merton, put that vase down.
Would anybody like summer to eat?
What a lovely idea, Maud. Take five, everybody.
No.
Oh, doesn't that bring it all back? Sitting in the dressing room after the show, having a little drinky and a bite to eat, and enjoying a bit of friendly banter. What a shame you so seldom joined us, Evadne.
I'd say I didn't miss much if all you used to do was sit round being abusive to each other.
On the contrary, you missed a good deal. For a start, you missed all the things we said about you.
And if what I heard just now was a fair example, I don't think I missed much.
Ah, but it wasn't, dear. Well, we haven't really got going yet. And anyway, I dare say we've all mellowed a bit over the years, except for you, of course.
I say, Hilda, what's this pishy stuff in the blue bowl?
Oh, really, Merton, having no finesse. That, darling, is a dip.
Yes, but what am I supposed to dip in it?
Oh, for heaven's sake, sweetie, where were you dragged up? What do you think the bridge rails are for, hmm? It's delicious.
There you are, Evadne. I told you they were inventive.
I can hardly wait to see what they do with the trifle.
Perhaps I should pop out and fetch in the rest of each chowder, Dame Hilda, seeing as how they seem to like it.
Where is it, dear?
Well, it's on the cat's saucers. But they ain't touched it yet.
No, I think we better leave it there. After all, it was the cat's treat.
Yeah, I say, Hilda, do you remember those digs we all shared in Grimsby, where all she gave us for every meal all week was cold tea and kippers?
I do, dear, I do. It was Festival of Britain year, 51.
Ooh.
And I still can't look a kipper in the face.
Mrs. Plunkett, that was the lady's name.
That's right.
Yes, though by rights it should have been Plunkett, the way she used to march in and plonk it down in front of us.
The thing I remember about that place is those religious texts all over the walls. I had "To Err is Human" over my bed. "He seeth all above the washstand."
Weren't they wonderful times? I say, Evadne, do you still remember that charming little Noel Card song we always used to sing?
"Touring Days." Yeah, I think so.
Then let's sing it now, shall we? Just for old times' sake.
Yes.
Come on, shall we? All right, team. I've often wondered if it's possible to recapture the magic of bygone days. I feel one couldn't quite resuscitate all the rapture and joy of a youthful phase.
But still, it's nice to remember the things we used to do.
When you were on tour with me, my dear.
And we were on tour with you.
Landlady at Norwich served a mouse up in the morning
and a beetle in the morning tea.
Touring days, adoring days, far back into the past we gaze.
We used to tip the trestle every Friday night
and pass it over lightly when they came in sight.
But somehow to us it seemed all right. Those wonderful touring days, touring days, touring days. What ages it seems to be since the
Carpet in, Abney. They're bound to want to do the hokey-cokey before long.
Hokey-cokey.
You know, dear, I think this could become a night to remember.
I say, Hilda.
What, dear?
Do me a favor, will you?
Well, if I can, dear, what?
Make my excuses for me. I'm going to my room. I think I've got a migraine coming on.